In 1906, while rehearsing the Sixth for its premiere, Mahler lost it. He lost it big time. Again, Alma recalls, "We came to the dress rehearsal, to the last movement with its three great blows of fate. When it was over, Mahler walked up and down in the artist's room, sobbing, wringing his hands, unable to control himself. Fried, Gabrilowitsch, Booths, and I stood transfixed, not daring to look at one another. We were petrified. On the day of the concert, Mahler was so afraid that his emotions might get the better of him that out of shame and anxiety, he did not conduct the symphony well. He hesitated to bring out the dark omen behind this terrible last movement. Please, my friends, let us listen to the very end of the Sixth Symphony, Movement 4, the concluding hammer blow of fate." My friends, we must move on and deal with the year 1907, the beginning of the end for Mahler, the year of the three hammer blows, his resignation from the Royal Viennese Opera, the death of his eldest daughter, Marie, and the diagnosis of his diseased heart. Troubles in Paradise, the Vienna Opera. Now look, it's been some time since we last spoke about Mahler, the conductor and music director, what he actually did to make a living. We digress then, if momentarily. Mahler was appointed music director of the Royal Vienna Opera in October of 1897. The inevitable problems with the Viennese authorities began as early as 1898, just 1 year into his tenure as music director. The problems began with money. The budget Mahler submitted for the fall season of 1898 was rejected. The authorities were on an austerity kick and wanted to save some buckaroonies. Mahler was furious. He had reduced the deficit he had inherited and felt that the Viennese authorities were not A, not showing proper respect for what he had already accomplished, and B, by limiting his available resources, the authorities were making de facto artistic decisions, something that Mahler, as music director, could not possibly abide by. By the spring of 1899, Mahler's anger had gone public. He was quoted as having said, quote, "You'll see, one fine day I'll suddenly take leave from here. I cannot hold my own and maintain my honor in this cesspool," unquote. And so ended, after less than 2 years, the honeymoon period between Mahler and the apparatchiks who oversaw the daily workings of the Royal Vienna Opera. Look, Gustav Mahler was a difficult man, proud, high-strung, argumentative, egocentric, bordering on narcissistic. But as a composer and conductor, he was a man of genius. He was, as a music director, quite frugal. He often rejected certain stage designs and costumes as being unnecessarily extravagant and overpriced. However, Mahler also understood that cheap-looking or historically inappropriate sets, old threadbare costumes, bad lighting, and the like destroyed the delicate visual illusion that opera by its nature demands. Mahler also understood, and in this way he was apparently all alone, he understood the absolute importance of showing proper respect for the stage technicians and stage hands, on whose shoulders the success of an opera, to say nothing for the safety of the singers, rested. Mahler provided his techies and gophers with meal allowances and bonuses, almost always from his own pocket.